probably did hate Mayo, and we thought it was hate at the time, because these guys are trying to take away our dreams.
The Football Pod Live, Thursday, June 2nd in Castlebar. Check out otbsports.com/events and get your tickets now.
OTB AM with Gillette. Get into your flow with the new Gillette Labs Razor with exfoliating bar.
When you look at Dublin, though, and their decision-making as well, Paddy, I think a lot of those mead shots started to be taken out of panic as well, because that panic sets in.
Totally. No option.
And they have been there. Like, none of those players want to go through what they're doing against Dublin year after year in the Leinster Championship. It is embarrassing, and it's tough to take.
Do something about it.
No, yeah.
Do something about it. Andy McAtee's giving out about someone diving. Or all the talk about it shouldn't be in Crow Park, move it out of there, because that makes a difference.
But that was
focus
me.
On your skills. Annoys me. Annoys me when teams are looking, pointing the finger everywhere else but themselves. And I know Andy's not like that. I have massive respect for him. But that was annoying yesterday, looking at me. Because it's no good for me, obviously. No good for Dublin. It's no good for the Leinster Championship. That championship is dying in front of our eyes. Like, and Meath need to be competitive. The county they are, the tradition they have, and it's not good to see. Like. So,
Jim Brilliant. Gavin always makes a good point. He goes, in the pressure moments, and Meath were under serious pressure in that first half. Every moment was a pressure moment. But he goes, you fall back to the level of your training.
Yeah.
Like, it's so true.
You don't rise to the occasion, you fall to the level you're fighting.
Exactly. That is so true. When you're in the heat of the battle and you know you're under pressure, if you have it done on the training field, you have the hours put in, it'll come right for you. If you don't, you're throwing the ball up and buying it. Do you know that is the difference? That is the difference.
It's James Tintin O'Donoghue there this week, alongside Paddy Andrews and Tommy Rooney. Here's what's coming up between now and 10 o'clock. Tommy Rooney coming up right now. We're talking about the Football Pod. Have You Seen with Joseph Conroy is the Alex Ferguson documentary, which is on Amazon Prime at 8:10. Sports Pages at 8:35. Gavin Kilkenny is going to join us at 8:50 to talk about his season and his hopes for the off-season. Alan Quillen at 9:10 will pick his joint Munster and Leinster team. It's all Leinster. And then OTB reaction from Wednesday Night Rugby at 9:30 at 7:50 this morning. Tommy Rooney, good morning to you.
Morning, Ger. Morning, Owen.
So, the death of Meath football has been under-exaggerated for a change.
Yeah. That was bad at the weekend. And it certainly feels like it when you have somebody like Paddy Andrews getting so upset about how annoying it was. Owen, I know you were sitting beside him. I've been there before with Paddy at Dublin Meath games. At least I got the third quarter last year where I could say, oh, Paddy, there's something happening here. Did his anger levels increase as the game went on?
No, not really. I don't think there was any that would suggest some sort of positivity around the game, but it? Anger would have been a reaction to something. It was just despondence. Yeah, it was like...
I'm angry, I'm disappointed.
It was just, exactly, or this feeling that this we're at the home of Gaelic games and what we're seeing in front of us is just so insignificant, especially with Monaghan Derry happening at the same time and the hurling happening at the same time. You'd almost dual screen it while being in the stadium the second half of that game. Like, Tommy, you saw this coming. There's no way in hell you would have gone to the United States of America at the same time of a Meath championship game if there was any chance they'd actually... We're gonna beat them.
Well, Owen, you couldn't have paid me to be in Crow Park last Sunday in advance of that game, and that's the truth.
In advance of the game, so you knew it was coming.
I thought if the game was outside of Crow Park, there may have been a chance of a kind of Cork-like performance against Kerry. There may have been a chance where you'd have something you could build on, like we've had sort of last year. Where you kind of come out of Crow Park thinking, do you know what, we got 15 minutes right there. Or even in 2019 where, okay, we didn't score, but the Dubs only scored 4 or 5 points in the first half of that game when Meath lost by 20 points to 1-4. And the Dubs didn't get a goal that day either. So you were clinging on to tiny things over the last couple of years that maybe there was a bounce coming or there was something coming with this team. Because there are good young footballers in Meath and there are a core of players like Keoghan and Menton who... were very, very good and who are still very capable. But yeah, I think it just all culminated last Sunday into the Dubs kicking 117 out of 19 shots in front of the D without any resistance, and it was just so bad.
Why did that happen? Like, have you watched the full thing back? Did you watch the full thing over in America?
No. I watched the full thing on GA Go.
Right.
Last day in Manhattan, on 2 hours of it, and you're sitting there watching, and I actually just turned it off out of pure despondency. I put it on and I packed my bag in the room. I had it on my phone. I had it on the big screen in the house. I didn't want anyone else to see it. It kind of felt like I can't be showing anyone else this in my county. My cousin's there. My cousin's fiance was there. She's like, "Is this Gaelic football? I've seen Gaelic football before." And I was like, "No, this isn't like what you've seen before. You know, this is
this is an annihilation."
Yeah.
There is
when you compare, like you mentioned Monaghan Derry and you mentioned Clare Limerick. And I was speaking to people who were in Ennis last week, and speaking to players as well who were playing. And the players may not have felt it, but by God, did the players on the bench feel the atmosphere? Did the fans in the stadium that day feel the atmosphere? It was ferocious, unbelievable stuff. It's what you dream of. And if you're a kid and you go to that game, you want to go back to these games again. But I feel so sorry for anyone. I heard Anthony Moyles talking about it the weekend when he brought his kids to the game. Like, why would you ever go back to that? Even if you're a dub, like you're even seeing now with the dubs, sure they love beating Meath because of the rivalry that was there before, or the rivalry that might be still there in some people's heads. But like, you get sick of that very, very quickly.
I do think that the massive structural inequalities which have been pumped into Dublin over the last decade will result in lopsided battles like this. And while it's well and good for the Dubs to tell Meath and Kildare to get their house in order, Dublin got their house in order after a massive injection of cash and administrative support. So while Paddy has a point, absolutely, those counties are not performing to the level they should be. They should both be at minimum the best teams in Division 2 every year, and mostly they should be teams in Division 1 given their tradition and stock of clubs and playing pool, right? And given the opportunities that they have in the proximity to Dublin and the ease of which their players can get friendly work and not have to commute the whole way across the Mayo. Like, both of them, both Kildare and Meath for the last decade, have chronically underperformed. But the Dubs have all the advantages in the world. And so, you know, they when they give us their money, maybe we'll equal them.
I feel like that's a point I would have made before, but
now you're too embarrassed.
Not like, even that. It's like kind of a lot, like there's been a lot of money pumped into Meath football as well, though. Like there has in the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And I know it takes a long time for that to translate. When you're talking about the money pumped into Dublin, you're talking 20 years ago, and you know, 7 or 8 years in, you started seeing a kick, or maybe even longer, you started seeing a kick. But Meath football has fallen so far in the last 10 years, and genuinely, not in the last 10 years, it probably fell before McIndee came into a real depth. They'd been in Division 3. But the arc of teams that were in Division 3 around that time, like Monaghan rose out of Division 3 and won Ulster titles, and they got the All-Ireland semi-finals.
Monaghan had a smaller playing pool. Monaghan have also produced some of the greatest GAA administrators in the history of the game, and they have a system in place.
I think that's very, very important. And I just think that it's not just... I actually think on the pitch, Meath have got some things right over the last couple of years. I think they hit a ceiling, possibly with what they currently have. And that ceiling was probably going to come around this year, the year after. But I think the farce we saw last October, November, when there was a movement to get rid of a manager, when it could have been done in June or July if they wanted to do it, and there was no plan in place off the back of it. Look, and there's a lot of people saying that Andy McIntyre should have gone last October, November. I am not one of those people. There was no plan in place.
Okay, there's one last point I want to make on this, is that the stupidity of the championship means that some of the best players in those counties don't play because they know that more than likely there's an inevitability that they're going to run up against the juggernaut that is the Dubs, who do have their house in order and do have a core of All-Ireland winners who've won 6 to 8 All-Ireland medals. And so some of the best players don't commit because they see the championship as being completely pointless. That's a truth that is universally acknowledged by almost everybody except administrators within the provincial councils who don't care about the players, as we have established.
If you're looking for crumbs of comfort on this, people will say like the late Meath penalty, the late goal they got on Sunday kind of puts a gloss on the scoreline. can we not like dig a little bit deeper into that and show that actually in, late in these games, teams are getting at Dublin more? Why is that? Because when Dublin run the bench more, the quality isn't there of what it was before. And we were saying that all during the league, that once you lose generationally talented players, the quality will drop off. Those players still aren't there. Like, they absolutely do have a 17 or 18 man panel that is as good as we've ever seen. Absolutely. It's as good as the six in a row team. It's when you get down to 20 to 23 where it just isn't. And that is one of the reasons why I think that we need to just cool the jets on this a little bit now. I think that Meath have a lot of blame to take for the result and the manner of the result at the weekend. And yes, part of that is a legacy from the grimness of the pure Dublin dominance of the six in a row. That there's definitely a legacy issue there.
Well, now they only beat Mayo after replays in some of those games. Well, and they only
exactly.
beat Kerry after replay. So, like,
I'm talking like the 21 point win in 2020, or 20 was it 21 points, Tommy, or 23 points, whatever it was in 2020 in the pandemic.
Yeah.
That was grim. That was as grim a Dublin Meath game as I can ever remember. And I think there's still a legacy of that. So I do think there's a special case in there. And yes,
I think Sunday was worse.
Yes, I'm reading into this too much. Possibly, I'm reading way too much into the late Dublin performance, because the game was done. The game was done at halftime. So of course I'm overstating it completely here. But I just think
it was overrun. Yeah.
But I just think, like, but the thing is, Tommy, they conceded more at the weekend than they've done in any Leinster Championship game since the 2017 Leinster final. These are like facts, and also you align with that, the fact that they do have had a lot of retirements over the last couple of years. The conversation we're having now feels reminiscent of the one we were having 3-4 years ago, and I do think the game has changed a little bit. Of course, Dublin could go ahead and win the All-Ireland this year. They could win it at a canter, maybe. I don't think that'll happen, but it could happen. But I just think that the game is a little bit different from what it used to be. It's just Meath have a big part to play in this as well.
I think you're right there. I think this year Dublin just have to be in the mix when it comes to the All-Ireland, because I think that whoever the final four are, I think Dublin and Kerry are going to be there. I think whoever comes out of Ulster, whether it's Donegal or Derry, I think they're going to have a good chance of getting through whoever they meet in the qualifiers. And then in Connacht as well, I think we're going to see one of Roscommon, Mayo, Galway in the All-Ireland semi-finals. But like, you just have to be in the mix there. You just have to be in the mix. And the one thing about Dublin is, and I think looking at their bench at the weekend, they brought on Johnny Cooper, they brought on Niall Scully, and they brought on Paddy Small.
Mm-hmm. And who did they bring on after that?
I know, but if you are able to bring on those three boys and there's no other injuries or no other issues, you're doing okay.
Did they not bring on Davy Byrne after that?
No, let me get
to... Davy Byrne, there's word that Davy Byrne's in a bit of bother. And there's a couple of more defensive issues that Dublin may have. I haven't got confirmation on that, but
Shane Claims and Brian O'Leary were the other two subs after that, who I hadn't seen play for Dublin before. So that's the thing is, Tommy, you say if they get injuries, like maybe they won't, maybe the season is strung out enough for that not to happen, and maybe they'll have a lead against Kildare in the final where they can take off players, and maybe that won't happen. Maybe they'll be in a similar position in the quarter final and they'll go into an All-Ireland semi-final with a fully stacked 18 players, and that the players that you mentioned there constitute a bench game plan that will absolutely win an All-Ireland, that can absolutely win an All-Ireland. It's just as they get any more pushed, I think their squad thins out to the point where it'll make a significant impact.
Yeah, I know, I agree, but I think most squads are like that at the minute. I think if Kerry lose Clifford and somebody else, if Mayo, as we saw, lose Tommy Conroy and Paddy Durkin, or you know, if the engine is taken out of their team, they're in serious bother. Like, when we saw Mayo and Dublin go up against each other in 2016, 2017, it was the very best of that Dublin team, and it was the very, very best Mayo team I think we've ever seen. Do you know?
Yeah.
The Kerry team that went up against Dublin was a very good team. It may not have been at the peak of what it was in the mid-2000s in terms of everyone they had, but in 15, that was a very, very, very good Kerry side. So I thought we think we saw the very best of Dublin at the start of that six in a row. And even in 2019, Kerry were young, and Dublin caught them, you know? So I think there are definitely clinks in the armour, but I'd be looking more, Owen, at the first half, and I'd be looking at the 1-3 that Meath left behind them before Dublin, they laid a paw on Dublin. And I think that a serious panic set into Meath's performance, that their game plan went out the window, because they've got memories of not scoring in the first half against Dublin in 19, and that has an impact on you. Whereas if Kildare go out there, and I hope I get you excited about this, and Ben McCormick shoots the lights out from 11, he doesn't get shut down by John Small. If Daniel Flynn has a monster of a game where he's laying ball off to Jimmy Hyland, And who's going to be the other corner forward?
Darragh Kerwin,
who kicked 6 points the last day.
Ben McCormack from centre forward, kicking 6 points.
Clare can do damage on the scoreboard. Meade's forwards just didn't click. They just weren't sharp up top the last day. I don't think they had enough up there to threaten Dublin. And if Dublin don't have Davy Byrne, you know, Desi Farrell was singing a tune afterwards that Byrne has a knee injury and he's in decent shape. But, you know, I don't think the confidence is there around the county that Davy Byrne is going to be back.
Can I just do a slight tangent here? 2019 All-Ireland Football Final Wikipedia page is quite funny. Paddy Andrews gets one mention in it, and it's in the post-match section. Dublin goalkeeper Stephen Cluxton celebrated by taking a broom out and sweeping the changing room floor. I'll just skip a couple of paragraphs here. Dean Rock here, Uncle Kenny and Paddy Andrews spent a week in New York. Brian Fenton went on a holiday to Marbella with his girlfriend for a few days.
I'll read that till next week.
Westmeath kicked 2:15 and kind of without... without any real pressure on them. And
it's a weird game. I watched that one too.
It is a weird game. And there's no atmosphere. And the game's over after Kildare put the run of points together. And Kildare have been able to put a run of points together in most of these matches. A season in Division 1, a victory against the Dubs in Newbridge, all useful. But I think we might be 12 months away from actually genuinely being able to go toe-to-toe with a team like Dublin. And even then, I still think the game is stacked in Dublin's favour. It's going to be in Dublin's home ground. Like, it's not, they're never going to play a championship match in Newbridge or on a,
not in a Leinster final, no.
You know,
no. But I wonder, would Kildare have kicked up a fuss if they had drawn Dublin? Because Kildare and Westmeath both said they didn't want to play Dublin in Croke Park in a Leinster semi-final. The Meath County Board did nothing about it. Not a word. Not a dicky bird. There was no point. Like, you saw what the Meath County Board did to Andy McIntyre before Christmas. There was no point to me management saying, would you back us in this? Like, it never happened. There was never a thought of it. But Kildare and Westmead, at least they had a bit of fight about them. They didn't want to play the Dubs in Croke Park in the Leinster semi-final. So it's going to happen in the Leinster semi-final there in Croke Park. That is what it is. But I wouldn't say they're a year away. I would look at Derry and look at how they had a game plan in their heads. You can be sure as hell that Glenn Ryan and his management team knew that they would have to play the Dubs in Leinster this year.
Sure, but this isn't year one of it's not year one of Rory Gallagher at all. Like, you know, he's been on a very long, slow, steady journey to get to the point where he put the slow defensive style in. That embedded last year, obviously there was only one championship match, so we don't know what would have happened. And it didn't look like the attacking game plan they have this year. This is year three.
I feel like Kildare, though, have a lot of the bodies that have been up there over the last couple of years. I think this Kildare team, there's a lot of lads who are at their peak physically. I think Derry had a lot of
work to do. The spread is 6 points, right? And I think you wouldn't be terribly surprised. You're looking at me going...
Well, I was just about to ask you, would you take that? In Croke Park, would you, if they were beaten by... a number that you could count on one hand.
You can't, like...
I'm talking as a fan. I mean, you're not the manager of the team. You can say stuff like this.
I can't, though. Pre-game, the Kildare supporters can't be like, oh, geez, that's grand, we'll take that, right? They just have to get into a fight. They have to be dark arts in their way through this. They have to get John Small sent off. They have to get Costello sent off. They have to rile them and do that stuff. That's the type of stuff you're not supposed to say in public, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, everybody knows you've got to target... They've got to absolutely hammer Fenton the way Jack Barry hammers Fenton. But I don't know if Kildare can do that, right? Like, if this was a tier one of your power rankings top four teams preparing for Dublin, they would be like, how do we make them as angry and as pissed off as possible so that they're distracted from what they're doing? How do we make the ones who don't have the five All-Irelands be like, do I really deserve my place in this team? What are you whispering in their ear when you're going out to see them? Mm. You're pretty lucky to be in this team, aren't you? You're not good. You're not as good as the rest of the team. Like, the type of stuff that we know goes on in GAA matches. I look at Glenn Ryan and I think he's doing some of that stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
He definitely believes. He definitely believes that Kildare have to be targeting this game as an opportunity for silverware. And Dublin are, like, collateral damage on that journey. You know, that's definitely the way he's looking at it.
But Dublin aren't in any way showing any of the weaknesses that they showed last year. Like, they just aren't. Their best players are in form. Yeah. But it doesn't matter. Well, it doesn't matter that they haven't had the challenge. Their best players are in form.
And are they though?
Yeah, they are. Like, Fenton is playing well.
Well, hold on. Yeah, just to support that point, Tommy, they have had exactly the same path as last year. It was Wexford in Wexford Park, Meath in Croke Park, and they've won both of those games in a far more convincing fashion than they won those games last year. So I think that, like, they, you know, it's you are comparing like with like.
I do think they're in a better place, though. There was a serious hangover last year from the training incident when they were caught in Innisfails and they were in the front of the paper, and Desi Farrell was made to take the rap for it, and Stephen Cluxton walked away around the same time. I think there was a serious hangover about that.
Yeah, there's none of that this year. Clarity, clarity of purpose, clarity of thought. Conor Callaghan fit.
Conor Callaghan fit. They're in a better place. But Conor Callaghan was left one-on-one with Owen Harkin at the weekend. Physically, I don't think Owen Harkin is a very good defender. Physically, I don't think he's able to cope with Conor Callaghan. I think Kildare have defenders who can go man for man with Conor Callaghan as long as he doesn't burn them for a goal. I think, Ger, what you were saying there about the physicality, and I'm not going to comment on getting players sent off or getting stuck in that way, but what Kildare need in that first 10-15 minutes is to get that power and energy from their supporters behind them. Because Kildare people at the minute, there's a buzz about the county. I felt that at Newbridge, it was one of the best GAA games I was at in a long time because of the atmosphere and the ferociousness of it, of that game in Newbridge, and the feeling afterwards, the energy that was there. That is tangible and it's real, and it's behind Kildare football at the minute.
Yeah.
And they need that to come with them in the first 15-20 minutes against Dublin. Because last year, it felt like they were going out to make sure that Jack O'Connor didn't get hammered by 20 points.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. Yeah, and they lost by 8, and it felt like it was 20. There was nothing to hold on to.
And you know what? It was that attitude. Would you accept that? Right? And just because you're from Kerry, you're getting tired of this brush. But it was that, what's the spread? Oh, we might be able to beat that. There's no special prize for beating the spread. Yeah. None. All that happens is that people see through you. That's what happens. If you go out and all you're interested in is damage limitation, people see through you. Jerry O'Malley says, Kildare haven't beaten a top team in the championship other than nowhere in Newbridge game in 22 years, he says. Kildare have beaten Dubs one Leinster final in 94 years, two victories over the Dubs in 50 years for Kildare. Jerry O'Malley again says, Kildare have a dreadful defence. Mayo should have scored 7 goals against them in the league. If Kildare don't play with sweepers, it's a 15-point hammering plus.
But Jerry has a point with the second one there. I think the first one, when it comes to history and matches, and I wouldn't really read too much into that, but the first one about a defence, I do think Kildare need to sacrifice one of their players. They have 4 scoring forwards. They have Paul Cribben, who can score from 40 yards, no problem whatsoever, kick 3 points if he has to. I think that number 10 position needs to be somebody who will plug a hole and will engage with the Dublin shooters when they're in and around the D. Not sit back in the 21 like Monaghan got caught against Derry, but engage with the Dublin shooters in and around the D. They need to have somebody there who's going to cause a bit of havoc.
Right, very quickly, our first roadshow in 3 years is nearly here. The football pod have added a Mayo legend to the lineup. When are you going to do the big reveal?
I nearly revealed him there by accident. Yeah, we're going to reveal it Monday morning. So Monday morning, there's going to be a big kick. Mayo are going to get their qualifier draw. Hopefully, they're going to get Tyrone pulled out of the hat. And it's going to be a bit of a buzz back in the county because, God, when you lose a provincial semi-final or provincial game to Galway, quarter-final, it's a long wait to get back.
It is, but it's their path to an All-Ireland final, right? We just know this.
Yeah. I was speaking to the Mayo News football podcast during the week. We had a wee chat about the live show and a bit of a chat about the old years between Mayo and Mead. Owen, you've obviously done the documentary about the brawl, and a bit of that came up. But we got talking again about the buzz that can happen and the hope that's there in the county and how lucky Mayo people are to actually be able to get excited about football, and they will get excited once that draw is announced on Monday. So we're going to be there. It's going to be the Thursday, which is the weekend after the provincial finals, the four of them, and it's the weekend before that first round of the qualifiers. So I think there's 7 Tailteann Cup games the weekend before as well. So it's going to be a sensational week of football. It's going to be really heating up. Summer starting. We can't wait for it. First Mayo legend announced on Monday, and hopefully we'll have a second one announced a few days after that.
You can give out to Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue for all the damage that they inflicted on your county live and in person at the Royal Theatre in Castlebar on Thursday, June the 2nd. Tickets are available now, otbsports.com/events for more. Tommy, good stuff. Thanks a million.
Thanks, lads. Best of luck over the next 2 weeks getting ready for Dublin.
What was the strain like on your whoop in over beyond in New York?
The strain, I'll talk about this. Well, got a lot of steps in, and you know,
you do a lot of walking.
A lot of walking, you know. I'll tell you what the strain was last night. Football training last night, a couple of days after coming back. And what was it? The max heart rate was, I was in serious bother, I think, for about 45 minutes last night. So nice to get that one out of the system.
Very good, very good. All right, Tommy,
have to get swimming, Jared. Yeah, bloody triathlon. I have to get swimming. Talk soon. Bye bye.
OTB AM with Gillette. Get into your flow with the new Gillette Labs Razor with exfoliating bar.